Fart Cop. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Bad boys, what you want, what you want, what you gonna do when Sheriff John Brown come for you? Tell me, what you wanna do, what you gonna do? What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? When you were 8 and you had bad treats, you go to school and learn the golden rule. So why are you...
These are difficult times in Washington, ladies and gentlemen. The Bush administration is facing indictments like the sword of Damocles over the head of many of the president's most important advisors. The Harriet Myers nomination has been received, even amongst conservatives, with, it's like that taste in your mouth, brash. People are throwing up in their own mouths. So he certainly could have used a bit of good news, and he got it today. Today in Iraq, the Constitution was officially ratified only, I guess, 8 months since they voted on it. Or I don't... I think it takes a long time to count things with all the killing. There was a bombing at the Palestine Hotel. You know, who would have thought that the Palestine Hotel would be an unsafe place? I stayed at the Palestine Residence Inn. That was fine. So kudos to the president for the new constitution in Iraq. And now we could get the out of here. We begin tonight in Washington in the wake of the devastation wrought by Wilma in Florida. It's important to remember, we still have no idea what the hell happened with Katrina. Last month, former FEMA director Mike Brown, seen here... not helping hurricane victims, testified before a Senate committee regarding conditions in the Superdome 2 days after the hurricane had hit.
Marty later was able to communicate to me the information that, you know, they had plenty of food.
The Marty Brown referred to was this man, Marty Bahamonde, the only FEMA official who was on the ground in New Orleans during the storm. I'm sure when he testified last week, he corroborated Brown.
And the did you communicate to Michael Brown that there was plenty of food in the Superdome?
It couldn't have been any more clear to him that food and water was a desperate situation at the Superdome.
Plenty of food? Desperate situation. You say potato? I say there is an utter lack of potatoes! There are no potatoes! We're very hungry! To make matters worse, Bahamonde said he sent an urgent email to Brown in Baton Rouge, telling Brown the situation at the Superdome was, quote, past critical, and people were running out of food and water. Brown did not respond to the email, but Bahamonde did receive an email from Brown's press secretary saying, quote, it is very important that time is allowed for Mr. Brown to eat dinner. Given that Baton Rouge is back to normal, restaurants are getting busy. He needs much more than 20 or 30 minutes. We now have traffic to encounter to get to and from a location of his choice, followed by wait service from the restaurant staff, eating, etc. An after-dinner walk, a quick stop for Froyo, then, of course, the post-dessert jig on the skulls of peasants. Bahamonde, who for some reason was angered by this response, emailed back, this is true, I just ate an MRE and crapped in the hallway of the Superdome along with 30,000 close friends. You gotta love the BlackBerry. To which Brown responded, ROTFL TYCITH, rolling on the floor laughing that you're crapping in the hall. There is no emoticon that tells you how I'm feeling right now. Meanwhile, in the Senate, Oklahoma Senator Tom Coburn tried to rectify some of the government's Katrina-related misdeeds by taking some of the pork from a recent highway bill, like the $435 million allocated for two Alaskan bridges, and redistributed them towards reconstruction of New Orleans. How'd that go over? I've been asked several times today, will I agree to this version or that version of the Senator's Oklahoma Amendment? No! No, I will not. Is the baby mad? No, baby doesn't like it. What are you going to do, baby? Take your ball and go home? If the Senate decides to discriminate against our state, to take money only from our state, I'll resign from this body. Oh, my God, he will.
Then, as is now typical with any debate over the Katrina crisis, Senator Stevens crapped in the Senate hallway. By the way, when asked if maybe he'd lost perspective on what was important, Senator Stevens responded, "No!"
Mr. Crane, we do not allow firearms in the courtroom.
Oh, it's just a prop, Judge. It's not... loaded. Apologies. It was a shot heard around the world. Not the punch, not the stabbing. It was a shot that rallied the Minutemen to defeat the Redcoats at Lexington. This nation began with a gun. We'll go down with a gun. Or maybe... if we have them, won't go down at all. Let me tell you about assault weapons. The FBI now reports that the terrorists are coming to America to get them because it's easier to procure them here. Now, I ask you, how can we supply terrorists with AK-47s and not give them to our own people? That may sound crazy, but part of being an American in the Wild West was we came armed. It's in the Bill of Sale, for God's sakes.
Bill of Rights.
In our national anthem, we've got bombs bursting in air, for God's sakes. We drive around with our shotguns on the outside of the pickups so the neighbors will see them. And nobody talks about this out loud, of course. But things might have turned out differently for the nephew of the plaintiff if he had had his own automatic weapon. The first sound of democracy came from a gun like this one. And that's... why? The ban on assault weapons has been allowed to lapse. It's all about our basic civil rights. It's about democracy. It's about freedom. Denny Gray.
In May, the Army relieved Colonel Pappas of his command, gave him a reprimand, and an $8,000 fine for his part in the Abu Ghraib scandal. The Pentagon says Lieutenant Colonel Jordan's role is still under investigation.
Do you think you disgraced this country by posing for these pictures and doing this?
Well, I don't know. It's kind of hard to say because I know worse things were happening over there.
England told us the humiliation tactics she engaged in paled in comparison to what she heard one night when non-military interrogators took a detainee into a shower room.
I mean, it was awful. They'd put curtains on the shower, windows and door, and lock it. And when I come up to visit one night, I mean, you could hear them just screaming. They had shower on to muffle it, but it wasn't helping. This guy was screaming.
Screaming in pain.
Yeah. But they weren't letting us see because they had the door shut and they were like, oh, he's enjoying his shower. Because, I mean, they never screamed like that. We were humiliating. But this guy, I mean, this guy was like screaming bloody murder. I mean, it still haunts me. I mean, I still hear it just like it happened yesterday.
This past week, a military jury of 5 male officers found Lindy England guilty of prisoner maltreatment. Unswayed by testimony from Charles Grainer that higher-ups knew of the abuse and that he had, in fact, pressured England to pose in the photographs. In court, she apologized for her role in the scandal.
What are you guilty of?
For doing the wrong thing, posing in pictures when I shouldn't have. degrading them and humiliating and not saying anything to anybody else to stop it.
As for the man she once loved so deeply, England says Charles Grainer is the father of her son, conceived at Abu Ghraib, but they no longer have a future together. He is serving a 10-year sentence, and in a bitter twist for England, he has married another soldier who was also involved in the scandal. England now feels abandoned and used by the man who handed her the leash, told her where to stand, and asked her to smile.
Glad that I'm never going to see him again. And I'm going to make damn sure he doesn't see my son.
And if your son sees your picture in his history book years from now, what are you going to tell him about what his mother was doing in a situation like this?
Telling the truth. Doing my job, what I thought was okay at the time and approved, and that his father played a major part in it.
What do you want to say to those detainees that you were photographed with?
I had no right to do that to them. And I'm really sorry. I just hope they can forgive me someday.
Private England plans to appeal her case. She will serve her time in a military prison in California while her mother and sister care for her son back in West Virginia. With good behavior, England could be released in a year.
The fucking army, that's who. Years ago in Colorado, I was trying to impress a lady friend, and there was Jägermeister, and I signed up for the Army Reserves. Then I forgot about it. Now I get a letter saying I got a report for duty or face military prison. How did they find me? I mean, I'm off the grid. I'm off the grid, Andy.
Well, you got busted for possession, and now you're in the system, Andy.
Well, you gotta help me, man. You're on the city council, right? Tell them that my city needs me.
Need you for what?
I don't know, for planting trees, starting a youth program for troubled teenage girls.
I could help you if you got a ticket for littering in the park, but that's all the juice I got.
Fine, then I'm a conscientious objector.
Nah, no, you signed for the reserves on your own free, drunk, horny accord. You are fucked.
Oh, well, I am not going to Iraq to fight in some bullshit war about oil money.
Bullshit war? What about 9/11? Didn't Iran hide the terrorists?
We're fighting a war in Iraq, Doug, and neither country had anything to do with blowing up the World Trade Center.
Well, they both have sand.
Bush invaded a sovereign nation in defiance of the UN. He's a war criminal, and now I'm supposed to be one of his disposable thugs with a fucking target on my head in the middle of the desert, waiting to be blown up by a car bomb rigged by a 12-year-old who loved Friends and Metallica until one of our missiles blew up his house? I don't think so.
They had weapons of mass destruction.
There were no weapons of mass destruction!
No? Well, whatever. Look, I got a lot of shit to do.
You name me one thing you have to do that's more important than the corporate takeover of our democracy.
I gotta take a shit.
You gotta help me, man.
I will. I will. I'm gonna put one of those yellow ribbon stickers on my car. For you.
How can you be so blindly pro-Bush?
I like his wife, Laura. Used to buy weed from her at SMU. Good shit.
Satan, Satan, lend me a dollar. Satan, Satan, lend me a dollar now. Satan, Satan, lend me a dollar. Satan, Satan, lend me a dollar now. Satan, Satan, lend me a dollar. Satan, Satan, lend me a dollar now. I have no money to pay my rent. All my money has been spent. Pray to God again or twice. Satan, please hear my cry. Satan, Satan, lend me a dollar. Satan, Satan, lend me a dollar now.
The book is called The Truth with Jokes. And talk to me a little bit about, you know, this administration, because I know that you have, in fact, studied them. They appear to be on the verge of some type of panic.
Yes.
Is that your sense of it as well?
Evidently, yeah. Tom DeFrank of the Daily News said that, reported that the president seems to be yelling at a lot of people right now. This is true, a story. And except he's, and somebody who is supposedly sympathetic to him said that he is taking out on everybody but himself.
That doesn't seem like his style. He seems, he seems to be about accountability in many respects.
Yeah, no, he was ushering in the member in 2000. He ran in as he was going to usher in a new era of personal responsibility. And that's why in this book, in the last part of the book is called The Resurrection of Hope. And it's a letter to my grandchildren 10 years from now. Dear Barack, Hillary, and Joe the Third. And in it, I tell about the future, how we take back, those of us take back America. And part of it is we win one of the houses in 2006 and get to investigate this guy. And then in it, I run for the Senate in 2008, and I win in Minnesota. No. And I say in it, I don't make the decision till 2007 whether I'm going to run. But I win, and what I do is a lot of people don't realize this, but when in like 2009, the Congress, the new Congress, gets there, takes office about 2 weeks before the inauguration, and as a new senator, I suggest a quickie impeachment. And people say, you know, he's only got 2 weeks left. Why? And I say, because we can. And it's the idea of what better way to really usher in the era of personal responsibility
than this last minute
than to impeachment. Impeachment. And we make a deal, and we impeach. We do it. It's a quickie impeachment. He gets impeached, convicted, and starts drinking again in the same afternoon.
Really condensed, a time frame.
Yeah,
very condensed.
And that's and then Cheney's president for about 5 days and has 7 heart attacks during.
I understand. Cheering a man's physical fame. That's not good.
No.
Why do the Democrats have to wait until the future? What has been their problem in terms of gathering any kind of effective opposition?
Leadership.
It seems as though what they're saying is, oh my God, these guys are imploding, and since there's only two parties, oh my God, we're next. You know, it seems like
we're next to implode, or we're going to take power.
We're going
power
to get
next.
Take power because there's only one other party to look at.
Well, I think there's a lot of reasons for that, and one of them may be that we haven't been since we don't have any house or any part of the Congress or the White House, obviously, or really the courts, is that a lot of our message just gets ignored completely. And in an unprecedented way in Congress, the Democrats are not consulted at all, are completely shut out of it. And another thing is we need bold leadership. And
are you impressed by any of them? Is there a Democrat that has? Because I watch them on the C-SPAN sometimes.
Yes.
And many of them seem silly.
Tepid or silly?
Tepid or silly.
Well, you know, I think different ones are bold at different times. I mean,
right.
I like, you know, tomorrow we're going to have Byron Dorgan on from North Dakota. I like him a lot. I like Tom Harkin. I like a lot of the leaders. George Miller in the House is great. There's a lot of four. Guys I like.
So there's four.
If I had more time.
No. I'm going to stay with four. I think four is a good number.
Okay. Well, the point is that. The point is, actually, in this, when I talk about the resurrection of hope, I talk about the things that we need to fight for, and they are things like universal health care. It's about time. And things like an Apollo program for alternative energy. I mean, it's crazy that we're not doing that. We just passed. And you saw, I mean, you played it. You played it earlier. You saw Ted Stevens go, no! When they wanted to get rid of this pork. These guys, these Republicans are the worst spenders that we've ever had. This is a huge, huge deficit.
This is all in the book. Those are fighting words. You know what I may say? Those are the words of a candidate, quite frankly.
We continue with our discussion about the selection and nomination of Harriet Myers to the U.S. Supreme Court. Probably the single most vocal critic of the president's decision has been columnist and author Ann Coulter. And with the Media Research Center, Brent Bozell is back with us. Are you there?
Yeah.
Hello.
Oh, yeah.
Ann, you said last night you're almost downright angry, passionate, that the, quote, the president put you in the position to oppose him.
Not so much to oppose him. It really, I feel like I'm picking on a woman.
And I know you're upset with the president, but calling him a woman is not the right way to do things. It's going to be interesting to watch the poison queen go after the monkey.
And I'm sorry that this has to be pointed out about Myers, that she is a mediocrity. Maybe in the top 50% of all lawyers in America. Maybe she'd make a good district court judge, to get out of this. Maybe even an appellate court judge. But he's nominated her to the Supreme Court. There are only 9 Supreme Court justices. You get a shot to replace one about once a decade. And the idea that she is qualified for that position is preposterous. I'm not qualified for that position. You know, this isn't, I'm a little sick of these claims of elitism and snobbery. I went to better schools, I have a better career, and I'm not qualified for that.
You know, this is more fun than I thought it was going to be, listening to Ann Coulter and Brent Bozell beating up DerMonkey while Hannity is forced to defend DerMonkey against Ann Coulter. We need more of this. We need to make this a regular thing. And it might be a regular thing. You know, President Katrina's got 3 more years to go. They could be a long, bad 3 years. Oh, it could be horrible. And I'm going to do everything I can to make those years just as impossibly bad as I could for this idiot monkey. Maybe between me and the attack dogs on the right, we can tear him a new one.
What if it is that he knows and doesn't doubt and is convinced beyond any shadow of a doubt that his promise has been fulfilled. that this is a justice in the mold of Scalia and Thomas, and that people just don't know her yet. There's no possibility for that in your mind?
No, none whatsoever. No, you can't act like these are things that are unknowable to people observing her. We have seen some of her writings. David Brooks quotes many of them in today's New York Times.
Yeah.
I've looked up things she said in hearings. Drudge has one on his webpage today. We know what she's done. We know what she's done with her legal career. We know what jobs she's had. You can't just say maybe she's a Nino Scalia. Scalia was stunningly accomplished, had a record, had written things. We knew he was really, really smart. We know Harriet Myers is not. It is not a question mark. She is not. She does not have the IQ Scalia has in his smallest pinky toe.
So Scalia has more brains in his little pinky toe than the lady that Bush said was the most qualified person in the whole United States. Boy, I love a good Coulter monkey fight, don't you?
I mean, is it the fact that he didn't want the battle, but he wanted the result, and he felt he would get the result with her without the battle over, you know, the role of the judicial branch of government?
I think it's absurd to imagine that anyone thinks he's going to get the result he wants. For one thing, like I say, you can't just say, I don't know, maybe she is 7 feet tall. Maybe he knows something we don't know.
But you don't doubt that he thinks that. Well,
that's
wait a minute.
Point one. And point two is, I mean, what about this attack on the Federalist Society? The RNC is now treating us like liberals, lying to us. They just sent around a blast fax defending her for her attack on the Federalist Society, an organization she would never belong to, which she volunteered, by the way. No one asked her about the Federalist Society. She just volunteered that she would never belong to the Federalist Society because it's a politically charged organization, you know, unlike the ABA. And the RNC sends around this blast fax saying, oh, well, the Federalist Society wasn't very well known in 1989. I just, you know, posted on my webpage how many times the Federalist Society had been mentioned in the New York Times, the American Law Journal, the Legal Times. It's preposterous that the Federalist Society wasn't known in 1988. When the Republicans are lying to conservatives, I think we have a problem.
You know, one part about this that I don't get, well, I guess there's probably several, but Bush had his choice. He could appoint somebody that the right would love, and they'd all get behind it, and Fox News and CNN and USA Today and the New York Times, Washington Post, somebody would line up to say, oh, the greatest, smartest person that ever lived, like they did for John Roberts. But instead, Bush picked somebody that would piss off his base. I mean, if you have a choice between fighting with Democrats who lay down and wet themselves every time, or fighting the right-wing attack machine with 10,000 Dobermans lined up, why in the world would President Katrina choose to fight the people? It's like fighting the United States military or fighting the Ecuadorian military. And Bush chose this fight with the United States military. Why would he not pick the Ecuadorian army to go to war with? It makes no sense. Is this part of Karl Rove not being there? Oh, God, a scary thought just popped into my head. Do you think Bush is even stupider than we think? Is that possible?
Is that what it comes down to? Is that why there's so much conservative angst here, Brent?
Well, yes. I think what's happening is that this was the shining moment. You know, I've talked to people all over the country who have said to me, I supported the Republican Party for one reason primarily, the Supreme Court. And the president has let me down by putting somebody on the court, by wanting to put somebody on the court who cannot be defended as a conservative.
Would you be happy, Ann, if at the end of the day she's nominated, she gets approval in the Senate, and she turned out to be a 99% consistent voting block with Scalia and Thomas?
No, I keep trying to tell you that is not possible. People think of the Supreme Court as only the cases you read about in the headlines. There aren't just like five cases. This isn't a city council where we're deciding whether or not we like abortion. These are important legal issues being debated by very smart people. You need an intellectual leader. She will be eaten like lunch meat by people who aren't even particularly intellectual leaders themselves, like Souter. I mean, she's going to be driven known by her law clerk. She'll be a laughing stock among the justices.
Ms. Coulter, I believe you've come dangerously close to calling her another Slappy Thomas. Do you mean to be that cruel to the woman?
Won't it become stunningly obvious during the hearings or no?
If the right questions are asked, yes, and I think that would be an embarrassing thing to go through.
Let me predict what's going to happen in the hearings. One or two Democrats are going to be charged with the job of attempting to derail her based on, say, abortion or one of the third rail issues. The majority of questions from the Democrats and from Republicans are going to come on tough legal matters. And unfortunately, I think she's going to be exposed as not wearing very many clothes. And at the end of the day, what's going to happen is one of two things. Either she wins, but she'll never win. She'll survive. And the president will be embarrassed, or she will go down and the president will be embarrassed.
Can you even think of a time when you heard so many good things come out of the mouths of such bad people? I'm just loving this, and I'm thinking there's a chance we're going to have three more years of this. If they turn on him now, and they apparently have, they're kind of openly calling him a stupid monkey. What is it going to be like the next 3 years when he's a lame duck if this Harriet Myers goes down, as I predicted she will? Bush is going to be into lame duckery with 3 years to go. Oh, my God. Are our fortunes changing? You know, we have been in the desert for a long time. We've been in the desert for 5 long years. Well, 7 or 8 if you count impeachment not being a lot of fun. But do you think there's a God in heaven? Do you think we're really in for 3 years of monkey beating? That would be so much fun. And I can't think of any place where we're going to have as much fun as we are on ParkHop.com and ParkHop Radio.
So I want to thank you very much for the nuclear weapons. I want to say it again. Nuclear weapons. Nuclear weapons. I want to say it again. America's closest ally, a nuclear weapon. Iran is not Iraq. I want to say it again. Iran is not Iraq. We want it to succeed. I want to say it again. Iran is not Iraq. We want it to succeed. I said that because I believe it. I believe a settlement on this important issue is within reach. I said that because I believe it. Iran is not Iraq. We want it to succeed. So I want to thank you very much for the nuclear weapons.